Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros,
aquí estamos otra vez en Living in Ring con tu host David Dueñez y León, Felipe León en Guerrero Montoña.
Órale.
I know, I just threw everybody off by doing that right now, right? I tried my best, Felipe. I always try my best.
That was pretty close. It was pretty close.
It was pretty close, wasn't it? You know, like, yeah, aquí estamos otra vez. Gol!
Con tu anfitrión, David Dueñez. Anfitrión is the word for host.
¿Quién es el Hauser?
I'm pretty sure. Let me tell you this. The person that would probably appreciate us talking in Spanish would be El Heyman right now, because nobody would understand what is really happening with the El Heyman Empire. Now, Tom Hauser, who's compiled a bunch of stories and made it his own. Now, the only reason I'm saying this is because the guys that really put in the works of exposing El Heyman, and our show is part of that outlet. Now, I'm not going to say it's a major part, or could be, but we've been talking about it for a lot of years, right? So he compelled it in one spot. That's what he did, and that's exactly what people are liking right now, of the fact of what he's doing. Now, here's the thing, though, guys, and I talked to both of you guys off the air about this, because since it's the major news of all the news at this moment, the one thing that most people oppose to me is he's doing exactly, and I've said this before, he's doing exactly what he was supposed to do for his fighters. But what is he doing for the sport? Is he hurting them? Is he hurting the sport? Is he hurting his investors? I've said yes. But again, guys, I mean, what is he doing? His agenda is to get his fighters the highest pay, which is something that most fight fans used to complain in the past, that fighters were not getting the highest pay. So they were left in the dark. They were left to be the bottom feeders for the sport, for the pay of what the sport was paying. And El Heyman is providing that. So I'm going to go really quick with Felipe León. What is he doing wrong that so many people are pointing out or saying, hey, dude, you're a problem with the sport of boxing?
I think the main concern here, and I think this is a concern that Bob Arum has and perhaps the other promoters that are going to be mostly affected by Al Heyman and his actions, are the false business that's happening right now, the bubble that is being built by Al Heyman that eventually is going to burst. You know, these boxers are used to getting paid a certain amount of money under the Al Heyman banner, and the networks are used to, or getting used to, not having to pay much of a licensing fee, but only pay for the production. That when this bubble bursts, it's going to be like the housing market some years ago when it crashed, that it's a,
or the tech boom.
Yeah, or the tech boom, it's a fault. You know, these guys getting paid millions and millions of dollars to set up websites. That it's a false market. It's a false market.
So,
and when this thing bursts, it's gonna create some shockwaves in the boxing business, and then we're gonna see where all the chips are gonna lay.
Okay, so in other words, these guys are covering their asses. I mean, it's not really because the promoters are worried about where the sport's going to go and how hurt it's going to be. It's really, it's hurting their pocket, because they're afraid that they're going to have to dish out a little bit more in the financial department to follow up in their business, right? Is that what we're saying here? I mean, that's where it comes down. That's the general of a subject and topic of what it comes down to them, that it's going to hurt them in the long run.
But it's not so much that. I think he's destroying some, and I don't know if I mean, you and I spoke about it, and I want to kind of get Gabriel's opinion on it. It's like ESPN. Maybe ESPN did away with the Wednesday night fights and now we were left over with only Friday night fights. Maybe they were losing money on it, but for whatever reason, they wanted to keep it going. Maybe it was the tradition of it. Maybe they wanted to have one small piece of the boxing business. Then Al Haymon comes in and basically buys the program. What happens if Al Haymon goes away? Do you think that ESPN is going to jump back in into boxing and pay themselves? I don't think that's going to happen. So we're going to lose that outlet for boxing, even if the fights weren't that good or anything. But at least we were getting a little bit more boxing and see some fights and see some prospects getting built on ESPN. But if Al Haymon goes away and takes that money with him, I don't think that ESPN is going to be rushing to get back in the boxing business. What's your opinion about that, Gabriel?
Well, it's early to tell, in the what the damage is going to be. What is the scenario? Let's say Al folds this PBC venture. He's not going to go away. Nobody ever goes away in boxing. They just kind of shift roles. He's got a bunch of fighters. But it also depends on how the PBC goes away. Let's say the Golden Boy and Top Rank win their lawsuits, and it's deemed illegal what Al is doing, and the contracts get invalidated. Now you have like 200 advisory contracts that go up, 200 fighters that enter into the market, some of whom have created some ill will in the way they departed for the people that developed them. But talent and dates and filling a roster will make all that go away, and everybody, it'll be a feeding frenzy. Or the guys, some will be loyal to Al and survive, and he'll work his guys through different promoters, kind of go back to business as usual. He'll just be another player who tried to dream big and spent other people's money. Remember, he's not going to be broke coming out of this, just his investors will. It's a really smart play, maybe not so well executed by Al Haymon. So I don't know. It's hard for me to say what ESPN is going to do because, right now their stock's dropping. They're not looking so great, like the worldwide leader. They made a commitment in covering boxing. They just re-signed Dan Raphael, but their boxing program's all screwed up. People are like, what happened to Friday Night Fights? Francisco Salazar wrote a great piece about it, saying, we're missing it. Like, what, something like 30-something weeks out of the year, we were getting boxing, and now we're not getting anything. Al, he never explicitly said he was going to make boxing, he was going to improve it. He said he was going to bring it back to where it used to be in the mainstream's eye, and now we're not really seeing that. Showtime's just announced a bunch of fights, but those aren't necessarily PBC. They're just Al Haymon. I don't know what the hell is really going on. It does seem free fall, but I don't like to just kind of go along with everybody's the sky is falling, because they've been negative on Al since, kind of like the Republicans are about Obama's presidency. No one's given Al even a chance to show us if he can succeed or not. And that makes me skeptical of joining that group.
In a lot of ways, I think that's where Donald Trump probably got his ideas off of Al Haymon when he said, I'm just going to bring back boxing where it used to be. Donald Trump said, I'm just going to bring back America where it used to be. The racism and all this other stuff. Here's the crazy part.
Nostalgia is very potent. People always romanticize the past. I think both of those messages are the same. It's a really good correlation, Dave. Sorry to interrupt.
I just lost my whole train of thought because you just threw me off right now.
I just tell you just made a great point. Sorry, my bad.
No, what I was going to say was like, here's the thing that what Al Haymon realized is that I'm going to tap into something that nobody's really going to take coverage of. The niche of coverage. Here's the reality. It's the niche of coverage. We don't see this on ESPN. We don't see this on Fox News. We don't see this on CSN. Al's really not being exposed for nothing. There's really not going to be a backlash of what he's doing. The backlash is going to be on the people that invested in him with his Waldon Reed. And I've said this before. Those are the guys that are being investigated. Those are the guys that are being taken to court. Whatever Golden Boy and Top Rank are doing, what they're trying to do is salvage the relationship on getting networks because they're not getting the exposure. Golden Boy now has fallen on and doing digital boxing, which I, you know, I mean, I know, Gable, you're on board with that. But my complaint is that how do you bring on new fans? You're not promoting it. The only ones that know about it are the fans that are hardcore fans. And even the hardcore fans are a bit lazy. I'm one of them. I just don't follow through. I didn't watch their last fights because the fact is that I didn't want to try to find the stream or go to, you know, watch or watch it on my laptop. You know, I bought a big old TV. I want to watch it on TV.
Jimmy, you can, I mean, you know, I mean, like I just got a new TV. It's not a wall of sound and fury that your TV is, but it's not bad. And I hook it up to my laptop, you know, a little HDMI cable. I like the Ring TV stream. You know, I think there's that weird gap when you watch it online where they don't have commercials. They just have this weird wide angle shot of the crowd. And there's kind of this weird audio happening where you can kind of hear Steve talking in the background. Or whoever, you know, Doug or Beto Duran. Still, to me, would you guys agree that's like the best new crew in boxing? Is that Beto and Doug and Steve? Or even when Steve's not there, I think Beto and Doug are nice. There's not a lot of hyperbole, and they just call the action. You know, with Al, I don't think we've seen the whole plan. I think there's going to be more. I wouldn't be surprised if he has his own digital outlet at some point, that he uses all these guys for their reach and then tries to build something else. Either that or it's just the Hindenburg and it's on fire, crashing to the earth.
I don't know. You know, what I've been told is that Al's just trying to get what Al wants, and he's going to walk away from the sport and continue what he used to do before. I mean, certainly that's right now. That's what the lead is. That's the lead up of what I'm seeing and stuff. You know, Felipe, I mean, you can have a different opinion about that, and I'm pretty sure you do. We talked about it for length right now, actually today and stuff like that, where you thought it might end up leading in terms of what Al is trying to – in the direction he's going for. You know, I mean, destruction, or is it something that we can piggyback off of? I mean, here's the thing, guys, is that if you're a small-time promoter – the destruction is that you're not going to be able to follow through what Al Haymon has kind of paved off with other networks. Why? Because he's obviously has created this standard of commitment of how to pay fighters in such a large amount of money that you have to have pretty deep pockets. Small promoters can't do this. So in Al Haymon's terms of trying to build the sport and to be back where it was at, he almost killed the sport because the sport was built off of smaller promoters. Am I wrong about this? Could I be wrong about this, guys?
Well, I mean, I think where Al has taken us is into a place where the model has been kind of broken up. Like, it's interesting you brought up the whole Donald Trump thing, but if you look at Trump and Sanders, they've really shaken up the model. You know, Bernie is doing more of a people, you know, financed campaign. Trump has actually lent himself a bunch of money, and will be able to cash that out at the end of the, you know, and make money back. But it's pretty close to self-financed. And Al consequently has done something completely different. And they even acknowledge it in that Hauser piece. You're going to be the bad guy for a while. You're going to be the aggressive guy at the tables initially, but then the model's going to shift and you're going to be the one in control. And you can see it, like as other promoters in the piece, somebody else said, you know, you can't develop anybody past 12-0 because there's nowhere to take them. But also what's there is that, you know, Al doesn't develop people, but other people develop people, and Al has all the money. Another Hauser piece where he said, like, you know, he's the man with the gold. He's the man that makes the rules. And so you see guys just go, you know, coerced right over to Al. There's got to be something else. It, to me, this third piece was about the financials, and it ends with the phrase, you know, follow the money. And I don't think it necessarily was, I could be wrong, summing up the whole piece as, you know, the money's going away, so therefore it's failing, follow the money. I think there's some other shoe about to drop. In this piece, and we're going to find out why he overpays. And like, what else is funneling into this? Why would you overpay for all this stuff?
I don't know.
Maybe it's as opposed to changing the market and taking it over. Maybe it's something else.
I mean, maybe to destroy it, to rebuild it up. I don't know.
Well,
Felipe,
I think that's the case. I mean, he's trying to, and then I think it was part two where it says somebody mentioned, and I don't remember, but they're saying basically he's trying to turn over the market. He's trying to change the market, to turn it upside down and then build it like how he wants it to be. And obviously by overpaying these fighters, that's how you're going to draw the fighters. That's how everybody's going to – everybody wants to go out to Al Haymon, even to the point where they actually – do whatever it takes to sometimes leave their former managers to be able to go with Al Haymon. And, you know, and it is because of the money. At the end of the day, everybody wants to get paid, and he's the one that's paying the most for everybody. And that's how – and the fighters are, you know, the material here. You know, this they're the – you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, to put it in very basic terms, they're the product. So the more product you have, the more supply you have, and there's a demand for it, well, there you have a corner of the market there, and that's why I think he's overpaying them, because so he could have them, you know. And then if he has them, he wants to, you know, I don't want to say revolutionize the market or the business, but he does want to change it to a certain way that he has the advantage over the other guys that have been doing it for a long, long time.
Strong
possibility. I mean,
yep.
Does paying these guys, you know, I'd like to see a study done. Have athletes gotten better with the more money they make, like, say, in the NFL, you know, or is it just the equipment, like, you know, and, you know, better about how to get into shape? Like, is more money better or worse for something? Does it even equate to being better, you know? Or is it just good for those people? And so, but all, you notice all the guys that everybody says the same thing. The fighters don't complain about Al, but the fans do. And that's strange to me that doesn't matter, and that the fans are kind of brushed away.
Well, it's just like Julian Rock.
Just going to be negative no matter what, you know?
Right. Well, it's like Julian Rock, you know, Rock Williams. Okay, he goes. He talks about ESPN. It's. You know, you had B fighters, but all you guys are going to complain about this. Well, first off, you're a fighter. You're not a consumer. I'm a consumer. You're a consumer. Felipe Leon's a consumer. We're all consumers here. We have a right to complain about the product that's being put in front of us that we have to pay for. Now, whether or not you think that cable's free, it's not. You know, a lot of us pay over $100 a month just to have cable. A lot of us pay more than if you're paying $70 for basic cable, you still have a right. But a lot of us are paying more than $70 a month to have HBO and Showtime as subscribers and have, you know, Fox Sports and Spike. That's all added up to your network of subscriptions, right? To have to watch fights. So I have a right to bitch and complain about your guys' fights. You know, so, you know, for Julian Rock out there to complain, to talk about fight fans complaining about what fights are being provided for us, dude, you have no room. First off, you're not even exciting. You're calling out people, but you're not even exciting. Until you start fighting real fights, dude, then start complaining about what fans are saying. But until then, sit down and shut up already. I'm tired of hearing that guy, dude. Seriously, I'm not a fan of him. I'm not a fan of his coach, and I'm not afraid to say that I'm not a fan of him. Love to interview the guy because I like to tell him that, you know what, there's a time you need to sit down and shut up, and there's a time you need to sit up and listen. Anyways, let's talk about Lucas Brown and his PD. His PD, well, he's saying he's got spiked. So, Gabriel Montoya, this is your platform here. I'm rolling out the carpet. Step up and you talk about this here.
Well, I've got, you know, I've been looking into it, and so there's stuff I can't really talk about yet. I mean, they put some stuff out there, you know, the Hatton camp and you know, Brown's camp. And he said, Brown's like, I'm not a cheat. They even seem to kind of, some people think they're playing dumb. I've spoken to somebody kind of close to it, I didn't get the sense. I got the sense.
Well, the Hatton, the Hatton people, they put out a press saying that they're behind them all the way. They believe that it was spiked, it was contaminated, et cetera, et cetera. The Russians have, they've been busted. And you even mentioned that. You were talking about Deontay Wilder.
What about Deontay Wilder?
Well, you were talking about Wilder going overseas
and going to Russia. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to Russia, you should probably use WADA. Well, this is what I know is that, what I heard is that Brown, he's the one that asked for WADA testing.
And that's what he said.
I haven't
gotten
any
confirmation. He said, if I'm going to cheat, if I'm going to cheat, why would I ask for WADA, WADA to do the testing, knowing that they're one of the best? Why would I do that?
So, I don't know. What's weird about this is that, like, people were talking to me, and then I said, I'm doing the story, and then people stopped talking. But this drug, they don't even seem like they know what it does, and they're talking about it being like a weight loss drug.
What do you
mean? And it is, but it's not a diuretic. Clenbuterol is like a it's more of a stimulant, but it can also, like, raise your metabolism and help you burn fat. But it's not, it's not a diuretic, like, or a masking agent, or a diuretic which could be used as a masking agent. So, where he was at, this whole Fresno Kendo thing, he tested positive over there, same place, Chechnya, or Grozny, and was like, dude, some crazy shit went down. So I think we got to look at this one and let their investigation. I think this people are looking at the B sample, and look, if you tested positive with the A, odds are, if everything was taken, collected correctly, they take the B sample is just the A sample, the original sample split in two, A and B. So it's probably going to come up hot, but I don't think it's as simple as that. I think they need to explore, did he eat anything? Find out, at the hotel, did they have food? What did he have? And then go back there and test, do like a full investigation. I think that's what this is going to take, especially with the Fresno Kendo case that was out there against
the same fighter,
Tagaya.
Hold on, because I'm confused here. So what are we talking about here? I mean, so Fresno Kendo went over there and basically was kind of fell into that, whatever, what they accused him and what he tested for, right? So are we saying that we need to take a step back and investigate further of what Akendo was talking about? Is that what we're saying here? Because I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, I mean, did you see his complaint? He filed a lawsuit.
Well, I saw his complaint. I remember his complaint.
Right.
His promoter sent us.
They made
his complaint.
Right. They went over there and they brought him back to take a test, and then he tested positive. And it was Shigaev's people. Where it was a fight with Chagayev, the same kind of situation. So, like, I'm just trying to not say any of the things I've heard off the record out loud. I just think people need to look further into it. I don't even know if I have the ability to look into it further because it's in a whole other freaking country. I'm not going over there to investigate this case. So I'm just saying, I don't think it's safe to throw Lucas Brown just under the bus. And I don't think the B sample is the whole story.
I have a question, Gabriel, because we actually touched on this subject on the Boxeo Tijuana YouTube show yesterday with my partner Renzo. The B sample, when is that taken? I mean, you have the A sample, you have the B sample, but obviously they can't be taken at the same time, right? Because, I mean, if it's at the same time, then the same stuff is going to come out on it. Or is it just to try to prevent contamination at the when they're taking the samples? And that's what the B sample is trying to prevent.
The B sample is there to be tested, to confirm the results of the A sample.
But that has to be requested, right, though, Gabriel?
What's that?
That has to be requested, though, right?
The B sample? No, that's the standard procedure. They test one, they hold the other in reserve until the results come back in. If it's, negative, then don't worry about it. If it's positive, then the guy has the person that tested positive.
Hold on. So let me ask you this. So say the A sample is already tested, okay? Regardless if the A sample is positive, they test it regardless without it being requested? Is that what you're saying?
The A sample?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah, when you're doing testing, yeah, that's, they're taking the A sample and they test it. You know, it's a lot of testing. They were tested twice. This was a post-fight.
Gotcha. So all they're asking for, so all they're asking for is for the B sample being tested, which has already been done, right?
No, the B sample has, like, not been done at this point, as far as I know. So, like,
well,
you know,
what,
takes,
that's what I was
you
asking
know,
you right now. I said, so if they're doing the A sample, okay, they're doing the A
right.
sample, they're automatically not doing the B sample following
right.
that automatically. So it has to be requested.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, because – and the reason – there's a few reasons for that, but the main one is that for the B sample, you have a right to be present when they test the B sample.
Okay.
So it's up to the athlete. And, you know, some guys decide to go, you know, I'm not going to test the B sample, and they – you know, they do what like Ryan Braun did, and they attack the collection. You know, I don't think these guys will do that. I imagine,
so,
you know, they use somebody like Clearidium. You know, Vada uses good people. They've done work before. So, in this regard, like overseas. So,
right.
What I think
so
they're going to do is what I talked about was more of an investigation of the events that took place that fight week.
So, Felipe, what you were asking,
I still don't understand.
Yeah.
My question is, if the stuff came out on the sample A and the sample B was taken at the same time, the same stuff is going to come
was.
Out on the sample B. So if
it
comes out on the sample
what
B, then
it's
definitely
the same sample. You fish in a cup, right? And then they at the lab, they divide it into two samples, that same sample. One becomes the A sample, the other becomes the B sample.
Okay.
And then they... Like that.
Yeah, I understand. So they're basically they're basically checking the B sample to make sure they didn't contaminate it when they took it from the subject.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Look at this because you're confusing the shit out of me. So they took the first.
Uh-huh.
They took the first
piss test.
It's all one
cup.
Yeah,
right.
One cup. It's one cup. They took one sample.
Is it two girls or one girl with the cup?
No, it's one cup. So they took one piss.
But
it
was no
one
girls.
Piss.
One
no,
cup,
no
girls.
No girls. So one cup, it's a bunch of girls swirling in the pool, okay? But they took half of the girls out. They took the test, and then what they did is to hold the other one. And then when the pimp said, hey, man, let me see about the other chicks, that's when they decided to take the other test. But the pimp could be there to see anybody need to be slapped. You get it?
No.
No.
I think
right,
we should move on.
Well, I got it. I don't know if anybody else got it. I think everybody else got it, except for me. Hey, let's patch on some fight fans here on Leaving the Ring. 347-215-7598. Let's talk some boxing or ridiculous of what we're talking about now. 812, you're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys doing, man? This is Joe from Indiana.
Joe from Indiana.
Hey, what's up,
Joe? What's up, brother? How you doing? You're staying up late?
Good,
what's
man.
Going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on a few things. You guys get a chance to watch the Adrian Broner video that he posted out last night?
Dude, we're going to talk about that. We were going to talk about that. I'm glad you brought it up, man. Let me ask you first, before we talk about it, what are your thoughts?
I kind of side with Broner a little bit, man. I just think that he's feeling like Floyd just kind of turned his back on him. And then when he brought up the whole Jay Prince issue, I was like, oh, man, he's getting deep into this. You know, but I hope for Broner that he can come out next week and just stay focused on the fight and don't let this distract him and mess around and lose a decision to Theo Payne. I really think he needs to go in there and take him out. But I'm waiting to hear what Floyd got to say. I'm sure he's going to respond back. But I don't know if this is leading up to maybe a fight between them two in the future, but I kind of feel bad for
not. Absolutely not. Listen. Theopian is a guy that's promoted by Floyd, okay? Right?
Uh-huh.
Let's just put that out there, okay? Now, Floyd has always been great in marketing himself and getting his fights out there and stuff. He's got to do that for his fighters, right? So that's what he's got to do. Now, here's another thing, man, is that Adrian Broner is trying to get himself as a marketing ability and keep himself at least a talk amongst fight fans. He's doing exactly what Big Bro has taught him what to do.
Yeah.
Sincere. I mean, come on, man. How many times are you going to break up with a dude over and over and make it seem like it's sincere? I mean, come on, man. You know, me and my big brother right now, my bro's 46 years old. We have our arguments, but when we're younger, yeah, dude, we got in fights, fist fights. But after you hit the 30 mark, it almost comes down to, dude, we're going to talk among ourselves because we don't disagree. These two dudes, they know what's up. I just don't buy it. You know, I like it. I think it's fun. I mean, if you like reality TV, these guys are perfect for each other. The Walmart thing, come on. I don't buy it. Like I said, I said this around the ring. At the end of the show, I said, come on, how many the camera was shut off right when he threw the money and he walked off. How do we not know that they didn't walk back and pick up the money? We never saw him walk out to his vehicle. So Floyd is the big bro's telling him, hey, man, this is what you got to do. Keep yourself in the news because obviously you're not elite anymore. But I need opponents for my guys. That's what I need. I need somebody to generate. And nobody's talking about your guys' fight. And guess what? Now we're talking about the fight.
Yeah.
When it's really not a really good fight. I may be wrong. Gabriel Montoya flipping me on. You guys going to throw your opinion about it? I may be wrong, but that's what I think.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. Both things. You know, the Walmart thing. Yeah, obviously it's staged. I mean, he's standing. I mean, how many times have you been at Walmart? You know, I was there yesterday. And how many times did you go to Walmart and somebody has a phone out and filming somebody? Obviously it's staged, but I thought it was hilarious. Even that little giggle that he does in the beginning and stuff. I mean, Adrian Broner, he's a showman inside and outside the ring. I mean, he's not one of my favorite people in the sport, but the one thing he is. Yeah, the one thing he is, and you can't deny it, is the dude is entertaining. And if he's winning, he's entertaining. If he's losing, he's entertaining. And if he's outside doing stupid videos, he's entertaining. And what he did say about Floyd, he's absolutely right, and I agree with the caller. Because he told him, hey, man, I'm not saying anything about you. You're my big bro. You know, I'm going to defend you. When they're saying that you were beating up your woman, I say, my big bro didn't do that. But, you know, here you are talking smack about me fucking around at Walmart.
Hey, dude, here's the funny part. See, that's another point I want to make. If you're big bro and you know that he's beating the shit out of a woman and he backstabs you, come on, bro. You're a bigger fool than the woman was that was sticking around. But I got to tell you this. If I had a stand on a swap meet or a flea market, Adrian Broner, you're my man, bro, because I know you're going to sell my fucking T-shirts, my socks, and my tennis shoes that don't even say Nike. They're going to say bike. Anything else you want to talk about, brother?
Yeah. I got a question for Gabe. Hey, Gabe, I'm a huge fan of you guys. Well, a huge fan of all your guys' shows, man. But I want to know.
Can you listen to mine? When you listen to mine, can you hear it? Because a lot of people complain they can't hear it.
Oh, yeah. Felipe, yours is cool, man. I always listen to yours on Tuesdays, man. I download the podcast. So yours is awesome, too, man.
Oh, thank you, Rob. I just want to make sure you can hear it.
Yeah, Gabe, what do you think? I'm excited to see, intrigued to see what Abel Sanchez's game plan is to get Ward. I think this guy can get him on the cards, but I just want to know, what do you think his game plan is going to be?
I think they're going to push the pace and try to be aggressive. But, that's what Abel's been saying in the press. And I think that's what you do. You know, with the guy that's been as long as Ward, is you stick him with the jab, you keep pushing him in the chest and hitting him with straights from distance. Don't stick around for the check. Don't get involved in clinches. And if you do, you better push him back and show him that he's old, you know.
And they use your
got to be a clean fight. You know, they got to let their hands go.
use your weight too, because I'm thinking Sullivan Barrera is going to be the bigger of the two, and he's going and if Andre Ward is going to clinch you, which you should expect, make him feel the clinch and put your weight on him, so that way in the later rounds he starts to get tired.
Okay, yeah, I can't wait, man. I really, you know, Abel Sanchez, Press is a real good trainer, and I'm really excited about this fight, guys. I got one more thing. I know you guys let me on here for a while, but I haven't been to a fight in over 5 years, and I finally was able to save up, and I'm intending to fight this summer. And I had to choose between three fights. It was either between what's the guy's name that's fighting June 4th at the StubHub?
Orlando Salido against
Vargas. Yeah, it was between Salido, the Salido fight, the Con Canelo, or the Thurman and Porter. And guys, I wanted to do the Con,
the first
and Canelo,
one.
But I'm sorry, man. I picked. Well, I'm not sorry because I'm excited. I'm going to Brooklyn, but I picked the Porter Thurman fight.
At least you'll be in New York.
That was the thing. Like, I'm a big NBA fan. I'm a big diehard Phoenix Suns fan. So I'm like, you know what? I could attend the draft.
Are the tickets?
NBA draft.
Are the tickets cheap?
Well, here's the thing, guys. You're going to laugh at this. The fight is not even guaranteed at the Barclays yet. I took one of them. I took a risk. But here's the thing, though. I got my tickets were cheap. I didn't want to wait any longer. Like, I was on Southwest yesterday, and round trip. I'm from Newburgh, Indiana, uh-huh. So I'll be traveling to Indianapolis. Right. It's only $220 to New York. And I've just been hearing a lot of rumors that it is going to happen at the Barclays. So I took the chance. And if it's not at the Barclays, I'll just go to the draft and then go to a Yankees game. But I'm really hoping that it is at the fight. And I think tickets will be reasonable. My goal is to spend no more than $350.
You know what, brother? Let me tell you this, man. Good thing that you're a sports fan. So you're going to find something else to fall back on, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what Al Haymon falls on with. Is the fact that there's a lot of Americans that are into sports. You know, that's why boxing is not the number one thing to happen for our sport. Other promoters that overseas, they got to make something that's scrabbling. It's got to be right there for them. But when Americans, we can fall back on anything. You know, from rollerblading to poker to baseball to football to basketball.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm with you. Hey, whatever works, whatever happens, and it doesn't work out, where Porter and Keith Thurman's not going to happen at that event, the good part about it is you're going to have something to fall back on. See, me, I bought tickets for the Warrior Games, for the Warrior Game for Sunday, completely forgot that Warrior was fighting on Saturday.
Yeah, I heard you say that on Steve's show,
yeah,
and Gabe's show.
And here's the crazy part, that I just called up my buddy, and I go, hey, man, how's the tickets look? And he goes, dude, you want to buy some tickets really close to the ring? $50 right now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's how bad they're doing. He's all, $50, dude. $50 at the Oracle. Now, do you want to stay up there? Hell no. Nobody wants to stay up in Oakland, man. You know, I used to do – I did the shopping center in Oakland across the street from the police station. Nobody was my first day I was there, everybody goes, hey, man, take out your tools. I go, but I don't need all my tools out of my vehicle. Take them out, all your tools, man. This is across the street from the police station and stuff. So nobody stays there, man. But anyways, man, thanks for calling in, brother. I really appreciate it. Hey, let us know.
Can I get one more question in, man? Can I get one more question?
Go for it, bro. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, besides the PVC and all that Al Haymon surrounding, the actual fight between Thurman and Porter, you think it can live up to something that we talk about 2-3 years from now? Or is it going to be one of them fights where we're like, like Steve says, it is what it is?
I'm waiting for one of my compadres here to answer. Because opinion.
Can I ask that question again?
Okay, my question was, putting aside the whole Al Haymon and the PBC drama and all that, the actual fight between Porter and Thurman, do you think it can live up and that we'll be talking about it maybe 2 or 3 years from now? Like, man, that was a good fight. It was a good chess match. These guys really went at it. Or is it going to be one of those fights that we just forget about and, you know, we'll just never bring up again?
Yes.
I think it's kind of it's up to them. Neither guy really has a smooth inside game, you know. Sean mm-hmm. will kind of lock you up and push you back. Keith's not exactly a guy that sits in the pocket like a Corrales or a Castillo and gives you uppercuts and steps around. He's kind of one of those guys that is an athlete first and then kind of a boxer puncher second, you know, and third, or like a hybrid like that. And I just they fight so seldom. How are you ever going to have a complete fighting game, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's really tough for that fight to be good because of the rust on both guys too. And you know, I want it to be a good fight. I hope it is. Maybe it's one-sided. Maybe Porter is just perfect for Keith Thurman. You know,
vice versa,
that looping right could be just perfect to knock out Keith Thurman. But you know, I don't know. We'll see.
To talk about his trip, I think he would have gotten the best bang for your buck on the June 4th show with Salido, Vargas Salido. As far as the bigger event and the one that you're going to see more fighters and see celebrities and see and just be a big event would have been Canelo Khan, but then you decided to go to New York, so you made your bet. Now you got to lay on it.
Yeah, you know, I went to Cali a couple of times. I went to Ricardo Mayorga and Fernando Vargas's fight, and then I went to Marquez Vasquez 4. In LA. I just never been to New York, man. And I've always wanted to go. My wife gave me the green light to do it. So it's gonna be me and my cousin going. So I'm going. But hey, you guys don't have any more callers. I'll stick online, man. I can always bring up some more stuff to talk about or whatever, man. I really enjoy the guy's show, man.
Well, I'm gonna finish talking about what you asked right now. Let me tell you this,
okay?
Because the fact that Porter and his family and his dad has wanted this fight. Can it be something great? Absolutely. You know, what I've seen from Keith Thurman so far, he has not wanted this fight. This is something he's mm-hmm. avoided. You know, in terms of has his neck or even before that, and I mentioned this, is this something that he really, really wanted? Now, the styles, to me, in my opinion, they mesh very well. You got Porter, who likes to come in. You got Keith Thurman, who likes to stay on the outside and box. Porter's the guy that wants to mix it up. The other guy doesn't want to. To me, that's a good fight. Whoever decides to say, you know what, I'm going to take control.
Yeah.
So
the thing is with Sean Porter. Thing with uh-huh. Sean Porter though is that I don't want to use the word sloppy, but he's like so overbearing and he's all over Thurman, and Thurman's gonna have to, you know, keep him away, and that's where the fight could get stinky, you know, with Porter holding and clinching and all that stuff, and I don't know if Thurman being inactive for all that time and then quote unquote coming off an injury and stuff like that is gonna have enough to keep him away,
that plays in for Porter.
But it doesn't play for a good fight. Do you see what I'm saying?
I know I see what you're saying, but I mean, to me, it plays for Porter to be a good fight because it's in the inside, and that's where he wants to be. He wants to land those uppercuts. He wants those body shots. You know, you pulled away, and I don't know. I've never thought it was going to be a good fight from the beginning. But at the same time, it's going to be fun. Just to watch
what
either one of those guys is going to do and stuff, man. But anyways, brother, thanks for calling in, man. I'm going to put you back on hold, man. I appreciate you guys calling. I appreciate you calling.
Yeah. Hey, will any of you guys be attending that fight or no?
No.
No, I mean, I might at the last second. I haven't fully decided. But
hey, Gabe, if you attend the fight, man, I got to get a picture with you, man. If you go,
you might be asking for more than you really want, my friend. I'll let you know that right now.
Well, Felipe, you come on too, man. It's gonna be a good time, man. Thanks a lot.
You're really asking for more than
actually. I don't think I ever I don't think I have a picture with Gero. I should take a picture with Gero next time we're in the same town.
Yeah. Okay. I there's not a lot of pictures with me, I don't think. I only have like, do you take pictures with fighters? I've only got like a few. I took one on assignment from Fighting Fit magazine. I was presenting Freddy Rocha a photo, and they wanted me to take photos with him and then him by himself getting this award, for all the trainers voted him Trainer of the Year. And then, one with Kirkland, and after he got out of the joint and we actually met for the first time at a Golden Boy fight, we took a picture. And then one with Angulo in Mexico after his first return bout. You
the
know?
One in Mexico.
And one with Nacho Barrasin, too, in that same trip. But that was it. Kind of milestone moments, you know?
Right.
David?
I'm just waiting for you guys to finish what you guys are talking about right now.
No, go ahead. Go to the next topic. What do we got?
Well, my next topic is about the Olympics. I'm pretty sure you guys heard about this. I'm pretty sure a lot of fight fans heard about this. Now, pro fighters are thinking about moving on to the Olympics, and also sanctioned bodies are talking about this as well. But there are certain sanctioned bodies are saying, no, there's no way this is going to happen. We're not going to endorse this. Guys, I just want to know. You know, because the NBA at one time were saying, let's make this happen, make the dream team. Are we making the dream team also for the Olympics and providing professional fighters to jump in this mix because we're so desperate as Americans to win? Should we let this happen?
Well, it's not so much Americans coming up with the notion of having professionals fight in the Olympics. It's the AIBA, which is the International Boxing Association, which are coming up with them. And the ones that have really very determinedly and very vocally opposed this idea has been the WBC, the World Boxing Council, so much so that they have gone as far as to ban or prohibit their champions or anybody ranked in the top 10 of their divisions to not participate in the Olympics. I've actually gone and asked a couple of professional fighters in Tijuana if they would be willing to do it. And surprisingly so, they said yes. You know, they said yes because, I mean...
Why?
Not because they just want a gold medal. I mean, Jesus H. Christ. Boxers, they like to collect awards. They do it in the amateurs. They get their trophies. They get,
but what
you know, their little belts.
Felipe, what are they going to do listen, as... Andre Ward right now is a prime example, okay? He's a gold medalist. It didn't do shit for him.
No, but the thing is they just want it. They just want it. They want to have it in their house, and they want to put it up. And, you know, just because, you know, why do you think Floyd takes pictures with, you know, the 10s or 15
belts
or whatever?
Yeah, because
at
the time, when he was a gold medalist, it meant something. You know what I mean? At that time, we paid attention. Now... we don't pay attention anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're not an American and you're out of whatever country, nobody cares. Why should we care?
No,
so I'm
it's not that you
again,
care, but the fighters themselves, they want the gold medal because they want to have it and they want to display it in their home and do whatever they're going to do with it. But the ones that I've asked, they say, I want to do it because I want the gold medal. If I could win a gold medal and I could have a gold medal, just like I have my world title belt and I have this other belt and I have this, I want a gold medal and have it in my you know, trophy case. That's why they want to do
it. Isn't it crazy, though, because at the time – but let me ask you this. Isn't it crazy at the time because when you want a gold medal because you want to further your career because of the fact that you want to have, you know, a better life for yourself than now – It's a title. It's been so watered down that it's a title. Dude, we want to complain about El Heyman. Shit, this is exactly where we're at. That guys at the point of the career, they just want a title to have for what? So they can dust it? And there's no meaning behind it anymore? I don't understand this. I'm so blown away.
Well, it does have a meaning. It's an Olympic gold medal. I mean, it might not have a meaning.
It doesn't have
to
a meaning anymore. Felipe, it doesn't have a meaning anymore. There's no meaning behind it. If anybody can get it, when you're a pro fighter and you couldn't do shit as a pro fighter, but you're going to beat an amateur fighter who hasn't had the opportunity to fight without a headgear, to fight without certain regulated gloves, and you beat his ass, there's no accomplishment.
The accomplishments? I agree with you on that point. But the thing is, you can't take it away from the guy who just wants to have a gold medal. You can't say it doesn't mean anything to these people.
I can take it away from
them.
Absolutely, I can take it away from them. Dude, you're not doing exactly how it's been trended to be in the beginning. Come on. You know? Let's go back
to
the
I just think, you know, there's a world of difference. Like when I was watching the World Series of Boxing guys develop, they're all like top-level amateurs
those guys believe, really quick, Gabriel, those guys believe that wasn't going to go on the record.
What's that?
And those guys thought it wasn't going to go on the record. See, I just want to make that clear.
Right.
Those guys thought they wasn't going to go on the record. Okay. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And that was the same people, Dr. C.K. Wu, who was running the AIBA and still running AIBA. That was his brainchild, and he wanted to kind of make a semi-pro league, get everybody's feet wet with the idea of this. You're absolutely right. They ended up screwing everybody's records and not saying anything. And then so now it's, you know, World Series of Boxing has been going on for a while overseas. It's been doing very well, it seems to be. But there's also, you know, AIBA Pro, I think it is, or I forget what the name of the promotional company is, but they're basically trying to sign guys straight out of the Olympics into this league. They've been trying to go league before Al Haymon was doing it. They're actually doing it a little more successfully in that team model. I think this is kind of part of that, to incentivize guys to be a part of their group. And you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's something we need to be more open to, but maybe to me, CK Wu has made the same mistake that Al Haymon did in trying to monopolize the sport and excluding people. What we need is a consortium of promoters and the Association of Boxing Commissioners, the ABC. Everybody needs to get together and figure out how to market and build the sport for the future that everybody does well, whether it's collective bargaining agreement, something, because these kind of runs up against the wall, you know, these kind of people storming the gates, trying to take shit over, it's not good for the sport overall. Look at it right now. Never more fractured than ever. And now this. So that's what I got. I got to get out of the car here. I'm going to go see Batman versus Superman, The Dawn of Justice, a little free preview action. So I will leave you to it, gentlemen. I wish I could stay and keep this going. I'm really enjoying Felipe being the regular here on Leave It in the Ring. And Dave, as always, I'll talk to you.
Thank you, Gabriel. Enjoy your movie.
Enjoy your movie.
Hopefully you partake of your special stuff so you can enjoy it even more.
Stay thirsty, my friend.
All right, brother. I don't know, man. I mean... Let me ask this, man, because Mike Alvarado fought this past weekend, and Antonio Margarito, which we never had a chance to talk about because we didn't have a show, but Mike, I've been told that he can't make the weight. He's struggling. Antonio Margarito can't make 47. Antonio... Dude, I like to see the fight. I like to see Mike Alvarado versus Antonio Margarito, even though there's a strong possibility that Margarito might go after Canelo. Wouldn't that be a fun fight to see Mike Alvarado versus Antonio Margarito? I mean, if you want to make some money, both guys, Felipe, let me ask you this, dude, because a lot of folks were, like, on Twitter saying, oh, dude, he looks shot. He got hit a lot. Guys, he always got hit a lot. He was never technically sound, in my opinion. You know what I mean? He wasn't one of those guys we said. Yeah, he was one of those guys like, oh, he's a great boxer. He could box, but he wasn't a great boxer because he liked to fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he always got hit. He got hit a lot throughout his career. I mean, that's why we loved him because, you know, well, I mean, at least I did. And because he would get hit a lot, but he would still find a way to win. Or he would get hit a lot, but he would hit you even more. But it was different in his last fight. He got hit a lot. He got hit a lot by a smaller guy, and he got hurt. And the way that he got hurt didn't look good. And, you know, and that's the concern here. Plus his 37 years and that eye, you know, it's not the same as when he was getting hit before. Now, as far as facing Mike Alvarado, you know, he knocked out a guy in 3 rounds from a town called Agua Prieta, Sonora, which, what I know, it's notorious for having, you know, questionable records on their fighters. So I don't know if this guy's, if he actually had been in the ring that many times. I think the guy had a record of like 16-4, so which is respectable, but only if that is his true record, you know. So I don't
wait. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? Hold on. Let's rewind. What do you mean?
Okay. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, I don't have any proof, or I don't have any proof or anything. Nothing that I would go on the record saying, yeah, I have unfathomable truth of what I'm saying. But the thing is that what I know and what I've heard
right now, whatever it is, what anybody's listening right now, they're gonna say, wait a minute, are you saying that? Dude, this is not his record.
What I'm saying is that I've know certain things that happened that in that town. It's a very small town in Mexico. It has its own boxing commission, so you know, it doesn't have that much press. So you know, who's to say that a boxing commission doesn't make up a fight card and send it in to Fight Facts even, or even Box Rec, and goes on as it goes on as a fight. You know, that's all I'm saying. You know, I'm not saying that this guy's record is like that, but it has happened. I know that for a fact that it has happened in other towns. Where?
Yeah, Felipe. When has that happened? I mean, I'm just asking because this is something that you have to back up. When does this happen? When?
Well, it's happened in Mexico. There's other municipalities. Like I mentioned before on this show, in Mexico, there isn't a state. The commissions in that state run. They're city run or town run. It doesn't matter how big the city is.
Give me a
is,
name,
like Tijuana,
stop running around. Give me a name.
Honestly, there is a case right now that's being investigated about this gentleman who I don't remember his name. I'm being 100% honest. I don't remember his name. But there is a case being investigated right now that the guy, this kid, he made a fake boxing commission website email address. And from that email address, he was sending in fight results, which turned out to be completely fake. So this guy built up his own record throughout the years with fake fights. Now, with that said, I don't remember the kid's name, but it is being investigated. But with that said, I have heard rumors that same type of situation goes on in this town from where that opponent came from that fought.
But that's one
Mike
incident,
Alvaro.
Though. But that's one incident,
yeah.
Though.
It is one incident, but it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon for it to happen. I've heard of other examples.
But you have no proof on that. You have no proof on that. It's
I said I didn't have proof. I didn't say I'm a proof. I'm just saying. I never heard of that guy
you
before.
It's common though. It's common though. It's, you know, let's not. You know, come on. It's one. It's one case. Just not say it's common. One case. Right.
Well, no, I wouldn't say it's. I wouldn't say it's common. Okay, so I stand corrected. I wouldn't say it's common, but it's not. But it's not the first time that I hear that it happens.
Okay.
So with that said, you know, Michael Rado did knock him out in the third round. But did you see his face and all that blood on his face? So Michael Alvarado is not, you know, on the same. He's not the same Michael Alvarado that we have seen in the past either. And you know, he's had his issues in and outside the ring. So, you know, it is a good fight. I don't know if I want to see it. I don't see the point of it. I mean, what do you get out of it? Michael Rauda wins. Okay, you beat Antonio Margarito, 37 years old, looked not that great against Jorge Maromero Paez.
Okay, so what do you do with what do you do with Michael Rauda, though? I mean, look, you know, I agree with you. His face, right away, it bled. But at the same time, you get Antonio Margarito gets dropped. So where do you go with them? You know what I mean? Like, where in fact, that because both guys are looking at big paydays. So where do we go with them? Like, what do we do with them?
Hopefully nothing. I mean, I hate to say it, but hopefully nothing. Hopefully both of them, you know. I mean, Michael Rado said after the fight that he's ready for the big name.
That's why you're not a good promoter. Felipe, you're not a good promoter.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, who do you want to see him? I mean, what do you get out of it? I mean, who do you want to see him against? I mean, besides Antonio Margarito. Forget Antonio. Who do you want to see Michael Rado
I don't want to see him. That's just a fact that I don't. You know, when you see Lou DiBella tweeting that these guys are shot, this is a guy that has no fucking room. No room to talk about anything, right? And he's talking about other people that should have fights. Dude, you know, come on, fit me in your agenda. Like, fit me in your circle. At least give me something where I can defend. Lutebe has nothing in that. So, I got to tell you this. Where Mike Alvarado and even Antonio Margarito, they look far better than what Lou DiBella had the case for Jermaine Taylor and anybody else. Speaking about quacks, speaking about people that shouldn't be close to boxing, you had Kelly Pavlik.
Yes.
Just entered, you know, got in the court system, and a lot of folks were, like, you know, like they were jumping on that whole, you know, he's crazy. Because of the fact that he said, F you, media. I don't know if you watched that video. I didn't get that. I didn't even know what he said. You know,
I didn't watch the video.
Right.
Yeah,
it was so subtle. But at the same time, like, he, to me, when I watched the video, it was just like, damn, man, like, this is what you guys give me. Like, you guys don't cover anything else, but this is what you're going to give me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that it's a sad state of affairs, you know, what's going on with Kelly Pavlik. I mean, he was exciting. I like watching them inside the ring. I like what he did with Jermaine Taylor and with other fighters, you know. But the fact is, I mean, he's running through some tough times, and you know, does it need to be reported? To a certain extent, I mean, I do want to know what's going on in the boxing world, and this has to do with the boxing world, even though he hasn't boxed, and I do want to know, I mean, what's going on with him. But, I mean, it is somewhat of a tabloid type of thing. But, I mean, to go to extent of interviewing and stuff like that, I mean, what is he going to say? I mean, the guy committed a crime, and he's paying it, and he's being convicted for it or whatever. I mean, what's there to say? I mean, what's the interview consist of? So what's the point? You know what I'm saying? That's what I see. I mean, report on it. Yeah, I say that Kelly Pavlik got convicted for this and this and that and that. And then that's it. I don't need to hear what his opinion is about it or stick a microphone in his face, because there's really nothing he can say that's going to justify anything that he's doing. So what's the point?
Let me ask you about the point about Sugar Shane Mosley and Roberto Duran. What is the point?
Huh.
Felipe, let me ask you. Go ahead. I was going to ask you. I'm asking you right now. What's the point?
I don't know what's the point. I mean, I don't even know why Shane Mosley's still fighting. I mean, to be quite honest with you, I mean, he fought Ricardo Mayorga last August in his own pay-per-view. He spent his own money. Yeah, he's going to get his own. He's getting, you know, a little bit of traction here with having the great, quite possibly,
dude,
let me ask you this.
Is he jumping on the Margarito, you know, wagon, hoping that's going to happen, the rematch? And that, I mean, he did say that, you know what, if he's fighting, me have a shot at that, right?
Say again, I didn't catch that.
Shane Mosley did say that if Antonio Margarito's fighting. Let me have a shot at that one more time. You know what I mean? This is where it has to be. Let's make it happen. To me?
Yeah. I mean,
why?
What do you think? Who do you think wins that fight, actually? You know, I mean, you might want to give Margarito a chance of redemption, but I don't even think Margarito wants that fight. You know, does it make money? You know, does it make it enticing enough for us to want to see it? No. I mean, where are we going to
yes.
see it? Where?
Why not?
Do you like it more than Mike Alvarado? I like it more than Mike Alvarado. I think it's more competitive. I think.
But this is the guy
you know,
that beat him, though. But this is the guy that beat him. This is the guy that almost proved. Okay, wait. The Mosley fight is the one that said that he was taking, he was cheating. Absolutely. This is the fight that most folks said, you know, he's cheating. Let's settle it. Why wouldn't you want to make that fight? Yes, it's intriguing. Yes, I want to watch it. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I agree with you. If you want to go as far to see Michael Alvarado against Antonio Margarito, why not see Shane Mosley against Antonio Margarito? But what are we doing here? I mean, this is the Masters. I mean, this is the Masters class of the boxing world. I mean, why even bother? Why even bother to make these fights? I mean, how entertaining are they going to be? You know? So
I think it's entertaining, bro. I mean, it's the fans that right now, the fans that sit across the board, that go like, well, Margarito's a cheater. Margarito beat Cotto off of Place de Paris because of the fact that there's no proof. Nobody cares about the proof that's been presented. Why wouldn't you want to make this fight? Even though,
because
I'm going to tell you right now.
Felipe.
Even though if he was to win, even if he was to win, guess what? He's still labeled as a cheater. But
if the money,
why not? The money is there, dude. The rematch to prove against Cotto that was never proven was there.
What is it?
Why
did
he
do it? But like you say, it's not going to take away the fact that he came up positive or that stuff was found, and it's not going to take it away.
But the money was there to prove against a fight that was never proven that he used that against Cotto. But it was there, and he took it. So why not do it against Shane Mosley?
But beating Shane Mosley is not going to change the fact that beating Miguel Cotto
that was never proven after he beat Miguel Cotto. They didn't prove shit, but he still took the fight.
Yeah, but those were millions of dollars. You're not going to make millions of dollars fighting Shane Mosley. You can't compare it. It's not apples and apples, you know. He can make more money fighting Canelo's brother in Mexico than fighting Shane Mosley.
That's true.
And it's an easier fight because I don't know if he could beat Shane Mosley at this point, but I'm pretty sure he could beat Canelo's brother.
Well, if they do good testing, yeah, I think he'd beat Shane Mosley. If they do good testing, because I don't know, you know, Shane, dude, he's
one shot at a time. I don't know what you're implying, Dave. So,
all right, whatever. Anyways, we got around the ring boxing that we cover all the shows. We got, what, 6-7 shows right now happening on the Leave It in Ring Network. And we just added one. And most folks right now are talking about Felipe Leon's in the square circle. He's fixing the audio so you guys can hear more about what he has to say. Trust me, he's got a lot to say. Great show. Great show. And I'm happy to have him on with me on Leave It in Ring.
Thank you, Dave. That means a lot.
All right, guys. We're going to let it go. Have a good night. Don't drink and drive because you will spill your beer.
Have a good one.
Felipe.
Yeah.